Let's get ready to go into the Word of God. This is my favorite part of the day. Perhaps I'm a little biased. I do love teaching. I love preaching. I'm sure some people might say the worship's their favorite part. Maybe some people say the giving's their favorite part. I do really enjoy the Word of God. I'm thankful for every part, though. So let's go into the Word of God today, and we're going to pray together. What we're going to do in this season, I mean, there's going to be some weeks where we bounce back and forth. Again, even as we are here right now, we don't know how much longer this is going to go. Now, more details may be coming apparent, but we don't know how long it's going to go. And so part of what I want to do is this. There'll be some, different weeks. We're going to have some different things that we do, but I want to really keep a core foundation right now in doing a study in the book of James. And so several weeks ago, I was teaching you out of James back near the end of March, and I was teaching you out of the book of James, and we were going there. And I really, as I prayed, I felt like, let's just continue and actually just go chapter by chapter through the book of James. You know, James is a really powerful, powerful book. We know that the author of the book of James was the brother of Jesus. James, or also Jacob, would be kind of more the Hebraic a version of that name. And so he would have had his Jesus brother. He would have grown up with Jesus. He would have observed Jesus for years. He would have known Jesus in ways that no one else did, besides his other siblings and his parents, of course. And it would have given him very interesting insights into the scriptures. So we want to go and just meditate. And it's interesting as well, too, because the book of James, he wrote it, it says in James 1, verse 1, was to Jewish believers who were dispersed throughout the Roman Empire. And so these were believers who were facing a lot of challenges. They were facing a lot of difficulties. They were facing a lot of persecutions. And so this book was written to believers who were facing some challenging times. And, while our times that we're facing right now, I suspect, are not as challenging as what these Jewish believers were facing, we are still facing our challenges. And I think there's themes and there's messages and there's revelation here in James that is going to speak to and impact each one of us. And when you're facing some stuff, there's just certain verses that come alive in a new way to you. You know what I mean? It just comes alive to you in a fresh way. And so let's go through James. Today, we're going to start with chapter 1. Now, I'm not going to have time to expositorily go through every single verse, but we're going to move through the first chapter. I'd encourage you, take an opportunity even this week and do your own study in James and do your own study in what this book is talking about. And you can work through it with me in doing that. Amen? So let's pray, and then we're going to jump in. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity we have to go into your word. I thank you that your word is living, it's active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's able to divide soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Thank you, God, that the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and so we honor your word. And I thank you that people are not just going to hear as much of just what I say, but they're going to hear what you say to them through what I say. In the name of Jesus, and everyone who agreed said, amen. All right. So as I mentioned, back near the end of March, we had actually started in the book of James, and we focused on James 1, 2 to 4. And so we're going to start there and read, and then we'll keep going. But we had said, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, you'll remember several of the focuses that we talked about, or you may not remember. You can go back and listen to the message. But we talked about the importance of counting it all joy when we meet trials. We talked about the importance of putting our faith to the test. It's not the trials that make you stronger. It's what you do in the trials that make you stronger. Just like taking a dumbbell and hitting yourself over the head may increase your tolerance for pain. It may not. It may just give you brain damage. But it's not going to make you stronger. It's what you do. If you use that weight properly, it's something you do with the weight that makes you stronger. And the same way in our trials, in our difficulties, and this is really important to grasp, guys, it's not the trial that makes you stronger. It's what you do in the trial that makes you stronger. And so we talked about putting our faith to the test because that's what causes you to grow, believing God. And then we talked about the importance of steadfastness. And we talked and spent a lot of times about being steadfast. And God is building steadfastness in us in this season. And so what I want to do is I just want to continue through chapter 1 now, and we're going to continue to study some more and go a little deeper. So let's read, and we're going to start in verse 5. And it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now, let's take several moments and just pull some truth that James is sharing by the Holy Spirit from this passage. The first thing I want to focus on is this word wisdom. And we're going to actually take a little bit of time here. Because when we are facing trials and challenges and difficulties, we want to make sure we count it all joy. Joy is real important. We want to make sure that we put our faith to the test. Our faith is important. And steadfastness is really key. We want to make sure that we are embracing and we are growing in being steadfast. But we also want to make sure that we are praying for and believing for and really engage in this area of wisdom. See, when we face trials and difficult times, when we face uncertain times, I don't know about you, but one of the biggest needs I have is the need for wisdom. I just don't know what to do. And that's sometimes what's so unsettling when we face difficulties or changes or challenges is we don't know what to do, right? I can handle a challenge if I know what I need to do. But often when it's new or it's a trial that's kind of come out of left field and hit me and, you know, I'm just overwhelmed and I don't know what to do, that's when it can get really crazy. And that happens to all of us, guys. So don't feel like, well, I guess I'm really unspiritual because that's happened to me. No, it happens to all of us. What God says, he says in the middle of this, if you lack wisdom, ask God. See, ask God. See, when you are going through a challenge, you want to know, number one, what is the rhema word of the Lord? That's faith, right? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So you got to put your faith to the test. But you also want to know, what is God telling us to do? Right? What is God saying for me to do? What's God saying? So what is God saying regarding his rhema word? What's my word in this season? But also, God, what are you saying? How do I need to posture myself? Sometimes we get ourselves into problems, family, because when we face a trial or a challenge or a difficulty, we don't get wisdom from the Lord on how to posture ourselves. And so we are not aligned the way we need to be. We need to ask him for wisdom. You know, I was reminded of this, if we go to Proverbs 4, 3 to 7, because some might be asking, well, what is wisdom? Well, really simply, wisdom is the correct application of knowledge. See, wisdom and knowledge are a little different. A lot of people don't understand this. Knowledge is just knowing things, right? And you can know many things. I mean, my daughter loves her trivia cards, and we do trivia together, and she asks me all these questions, and I ask her questions, and the whole family gets involved in it, and it's a lot of fun. But it's interesting because you can have lots of facts in your head. You can have lots of knowledge, but you can still not have a lot of wisdom, because wisdom is knowing what to do with the knowledge. It's knowing how to apply it. It's knowing the timing. It's knowing the nuances. That's what wisdom is all about. It is knowledge applied. And Proverbs, the book that was written by Solomon, is an incredible opportunity. It's incredible teaching regarding wisdom. And I just want to read you a little bit about this. And we're going to spend a little bit more time on this. Other portions we'll probably move through a little quickly. In Proverbs 4, 3 to 7 says, when I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live. Now watch this. Verse 5, get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget. Do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. You know, I love that verse. Wisdom is the principal thing. In other words, he's saying this is the primary thing. This is what you want to pursue. This is what you want to go after. Go after wisdom. And why is this? Why is there such an emphasis here on wisdom? Why do we need to go after wisdom? Why do we need to make sure that wisdom is the principal thing? Well, I want to take you to another passage about Solomon, because he's the one who wrote these words. He was the one who said, get wisdom, get understanding, really press in for this. And I actually want to go to 2 Chronicles 1, 7 to 12, when Solomon was first instituted as king. And it says in, if you go into 2 Chronicles 1, he's been instituted as king, and he decides he really needs to seek the Lord. He's been king for a little bit at this time, but he wants to seek the Lord, so he makes 1,000 sacrifices. I mean, it's just this incredible offering to God, this incredible sacrifice that he gives. And then it says in verse 7, it says, that night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask for whatever you want me to give you. And Solomon answered God and said, you've shown great kindness to David, my father, and have made me a king in his place. Now, Lord God, let your promise to my father David be confirmed, for you have made me king over a people who are as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people, for who is able to govern this great people of yours? So watch what he asks. God says to him, what do you want? Anything you want, I'll give it to you. Like, think about that. And he says, give me wisdom and give me knowledge so that I might lead and govern this great people of yours. And verse 11, God said to Solomon, since this is your heart's desire and you've not asked for wealth, possessions, or honor, nor for the death of your enemies, and since you have not asked for a long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people over whom I have made you king, therefore wisdom and knowledge will be given to you. And I will also give you wealth, possessions, and honor, such as no king who has ever had before and none who after you will ever have. In other words, guys, here's what I want you to see in this. Again, taking a little bit of time to dig deep here. Solomon asked for wisdom, and because he got wisdom, he got everything else. You know why? Because when you have wisdom from God, you know what you need to do. You know how to position yourself. You know how everything else comes out of a place of having wisdom, because it's you're able to take knowledge, you're able to apply it directly. Look for wisdom. Seek for wisdom. And so even as we are going through this season, and even as we are walking through this time, we want to make sure that we are seeking God for wisdom. And we're saying, God, give me wisdom. You know, I'm reminded of that song from Bethel Worship. Jen Johnson sings it so well. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do, right? That's an element of wisdom, to see it. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. And I think that song is just so prophetic, and it's so powerful, and it so ties into what we're talking about here today, where we're saying, God, and I'm going through something. Give me wisdom. I look to you. Give me vision to see what you see. Give me wisdom, because you know just what to do. Right now, you might be sitting here listening to me and you are facing a circumstance where you don't know what to do. Seek wisdom. Seek wisdom from the Lord. Say, God, you know what to do. Help me to know what to do. And watch with that. And I love what it happens, because he says here, he says in this verse, he says, God gives generously to all without reproach. So God says, listen, if you ask me, it's his promise, I will give it to you. Are we asking for wisdom today? Be someone in this time, in this season. I think it's so key, even in the times we're living in, it's times for wisdom. And God is teaching us, I just feel a little prophetic edge on this right now. Part of what God is instructing us in this season, I've been talking to the church, I've been talking to our servant leaders about saying, don't miss what God has for you in this season. My friend Sean Gaby had given me a word and said, make sure, like, we want to pray through this season, we want to believe God for change, but get the substance of what God has for you in this season. Part of that is tapping into new realms of wisdom. There's storehouses of wisdom in the spirit that God has for us. This is helping us to push into it. But in the times that are coming, we are going to need to walk in wisdom. Give me wisdom, God. You know just what to do. And then he goes on in verse 6 and 7. He says, but make sure you ask in faith with no doubting. And for you, doubts is like a wave. And so he gets back to talking about steadfastness. And I really want you to see this. So he said, get wisdom, but make sure you ask in faith and steadfastness. Steadfastness is huge. God is building steadfastness in us this season. He's building that patience. He's building that determination where we say, I am going to stand firm no matter what. I'm going to stand firm. And when I'm asking God for wisdom, I'm standing firm. I'm not going to flip-flop back and forth. I'm not going to be a wave of the sea tossed back and forth. I believe you for wisdom, God. You know just what to do. Because it says here, watch this. It says, a double-minded man should expect to receive nothing from God. In other words, when we're double-minded, when we're in doubt, unbelief, when we pray one moment, the other moment we're saying, well, I just don't think it's going to happen. I don't know what to do. I have no idea what's going to happen. What we're actually doing is we're sabotaging our faith, and we're sabotaging the answers. Take your stand of faith. Say, God, thank you for wisdom. You're showing me what to do. And then just be very open to where the Holy Spirit might bring. He might speak it to your heart directly. He might lead you to connect with someone else or something else, and they're doing something. You go, oh, that's what God's showing me to do. Whatever way he brings it, we're believing for wisdom. Now, I want to jump ahead here to verse 12. So we're skipping up a little bit. But verse 12, it said, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trials. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. And so it's interesting because we see here, continuing through this chapter, that James goes back to talking about steadfastness under trials. That is a common theme, not just in this chapter, but it's a common theme in this entire book. Steadfastness when trials are hitting us. Steadfastness when these things are coming against us, standing firm. And it's interesting because he says something here. He says, when you have stood the test or when you've stood strong, you will receive the crown. Most of us, when we read this, we don't really have a true or deep context for what he's saying because we don't really have a context for crowns and we don't understand the value of crowns. Right? I don't know about you, but the only crown I've really had was really that Burger King crown. That's the last crown I can think of. You know, that Burger King crown you get at Burger King. So what it does is it cheapens for a lot of us. We don't mean for it to do, but it kind of cheapens the difference because we've got to go back in this time. In the biblical times, a crown was something that was very valuable. It was incredibly valuable. Crowns were seen like when I was in the UK, and I remember going to see the crown jewels. And I actually got to see the crown jewels in London, and I got to go into Scotland, and I got to see the crown jewels there, which was really cool. But those things are incredibly valuable. The security around them is intense. Some would say these things are even priceless. Number one, because they're made up of very valuable materials, but number two, because they're historical and what they represent. And so part of what he's saying here, and this is what James is getting to, when we face trials and difficulties and we are steadfast, there are eternal rewards that are given to us. Now, guys, this is a really important truth for us to get. Most of us, again, we've had a lack of teaching about the reality of eternity, and we've had a lack of teaching or understanding. I mean, lots of people have tried to teach it. I've tried to teach it, but I think we all need more of the value of eternal rewards. And the fact is that when we spend eternity with Jesus, that there are going to be those who've been steadfast, who've been faithful, who've been obedient, who are going to receive eternal rewards. And these are going to be rewards we're going to carry with us for eternity. There are also going to be believers who were born again, but were selfish and lived for themselves, and they're going to have very little or no eternal rewards. And think about this means forever. These eternal rewards are incredibly valuable. These crowns are incredibly valuable, and they are there for all of eternity. So what James is telling us here is, yes, when you're going through these trials, he lays out some things with you. He says, but remember, when you stay steadfast, you receive a crown. And so you're going to receive eternal rewards for standing firm, being faithful, obeying God. This is so important for us to get because sometimes we're in the middle of stuff and it just feels like, God, what is going on? God, this is so hard. God, I feel like God says, no, stay steadfast. Why? Because you're earning a crown right now. You are earning a eternal reward because of your faithfulness in this. Furthermore, I want to talk about another angle of crowns. Crowns also speak of authority. Right? That's what, even when I talk about like the crown jewels, when I went to the UK, for example, they are very valuable medals, but it's not just the value of the medals. It's the authority in what those things represent and what it represents in a nation and what it represents in that. And that's part of why it's so valuable. And so the scriptures are very clear as well, guys. I want you to hear this. When you are steadfast through a trial, when you are steadfast through a challenge, and you are steadfast through a difficulty that comes against your life, not only do you receive eternal rewards, but you also receive eternal, you receive how would I put it? You receive authority. There is a fresh authority that you walk in. There is a step up in your authority. Not because Jesus necessarily gives you more, but when you know what it is, you walk through some stuff, you face down some battles, you stay firm in faith, you stay firm in your relationship with Jesus, you stand firm in Him. Guys, listen, there are rewards, there's an authority. You come out of that other side of that season with a greater confidence and a greater authority in your life. And so James says, when we stand firm, we receive crowns, which God has promised. So there is crowns for eternity. Eternity, but there's also a greater authority here. I want to encourage you, coming out of this season, expect greater authority. I'm expecting it for our church family, that there's a greater authority that we are going to walk in together. Amen? And so we're believing for that. Let's keep reading. It goes on to say here in verse 13, it says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and He Himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is allured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Several things I want us to catch from this part of James chapter 1. First and foremost, James really takes some time now. So he lays the groundwork right up through verse 12, and he's talking about facing trials. He's talking about facing difficulties. He's talking about standing firm, being steadfast. He's talking about the crown of life that is promised to all of us who do. But then he goes on and he really takes some time now to talk about the character of God. He starts to focus in now, we see this, about knowing God's character and making sure that we stand firm and we have a real good grip, a real good standing in our Heavenly Father's character and that he loves us. Why? Because when we face challenges, one of the things the enemy wants to do is he wants to come to attack, to undermine the character of our Heavenly Father. And so we see here, the first thing that James says, he says, when you're being tempted, so when there's temptations that come against you, do not say, I'm being tempted by God. So when we face evil, when we face attacks, when we face difficulties that are coming against us, he is saying, do not say this is from God. Do not say God is the author of this. Now, can God work through some things and take what the enemy meant for evil and turn for good? Of course he can. But this is really important because what the enemy would love to do is he'd love to hit you with attacks and then convince you that it was really God. Right? And that's not what it is. He's saying, don't say God's tempted because God cannot be tempted with evil and he himself is tempted by no one. And so it says that these temptations, and obviously in this context, he's particularly focused on temptation of sin. He said, but this comes from our own desires. This comes from what's going on inside of us. It's not God who's temptation. God's not the problem. God is not setting you up to fail. God is not like, well, I'm going to see this temptation to see if they really love me. No, he already knows. He doesn't need to see that. See, the devil is the one who brings temptation. And so what he's saying is when you're tempted by evil, when there's evil attacks that come against you, and I can say this, guys, when there's trials and there are difficulties, don't put it on God. God is the answer, not the problem. And so really did. Now, is there times when we say when God leads you into a season of battle or challenge? Sure. But he's not the one who's the author and the source of the problems or the situations. Jesus himself said, you know, he said, you should not tempt the Lord your God. And Satan came. It's interesting. When you go in the in Genesis, Satan, when he came to Eve, he tried to undermine God's character. Did God really say? And then when he came to Jesus in the wilderness, he brought the same kind of attack. Did God really say? He was trying to undermine. And so what James is doing is he's taking time here and he's saying, listen, stay grounded in the character of our Father. He is good. It says here, he is the Father of lights. And he says in verse 16, do not be deceived. So in other words, the enemy's going to come. He's going to try and deceive us. And in the middle of these battles, these challenges, he's going to try and get us to doubt God. He's going to try and get us to doubt God's character. Maybe you're facing some real challenges right now. And the enemy's going to come and get you to doubt God. Don't do it. Don't do it. Hold on to him. See, it says every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth that we should be kind of. And so it's really focusing on the character of God. There is no variation. There's no shadow of change. He's not going to be one day, and the next day, the other way. He is stable. He is consistent. He is the model of steadfastness. We can be steadfast because he's with us, he's in us, and because of his steadfastness in our lives. And so we see that with him. And then continuing to read here, and we're going to kind of finish up the chapter. It says, know this, my beloved brethren, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. I love this. It says, so it's really key in this season. Let's be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, and slow to let our emotions drive us. I'm not against emotions. Emotions are a gift from God. But in this season, we've got to be quick to listen to God. And we got to be slow to speak and slow to react. Why? Because it's really key in this season that we're walking in wisdom. It's really key in this season that we are hearing the voice of God and walking in the voice of God. As Pickering says, and we need to guard against anger. And we need to guard against filthiness and wickedness and receive the implanted word which is able to save our souls. So make sure, are we in the word? Right? Are we in the word in this season? Or are we giving ourselves, you know, I know right now there's a lot we can, you know, some of us have a lot of time on our hands and we're watching lots of movies and watching entertainment. Guys, watch what you're watching. Watch what you're hearing. Don't let it in. Make sure you are receiving the word. And then he goes on to say in verse 22, he said, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and once forgets what it was like. But the one who looks in the perfect law, the law of liberty, perseveres, being no hearer and forgets, but a doer who acts and is blessed in his doing. And so in this season, it's really important again that we are doers of the word, right? So are we in the word? Let's shut some other things off. Let's make sure our priority is being in the Word of God. Let's make sure that we're not just hearing it, but we are doing it. We are putting it into action. We're going to talk some more about this in coming weeks about, you know, doing the Word, about faith and actions. That's really what we're going to be talking a little bit about next week, but let's be doers of the Word of God. Let's make sure we're doing it. And that makes sure that we are doing the Word God has spoken to us. Again, like I said, we need that rhema word. We also need to know the wisdom of God in this season. But again, sometimes we get wisdom. I mean, I have to be honest, sometimes myself, God gave me wisdom and then I never followed through and did it. I was lacking discipline. I lost track of it. And then I go to God, what happened? He said, well, I told you what to do. You didn't do it. Why didn't you do what I told you to do? And sometimes I just have to eat it and go, you're right, Lord. Okay, I repent. Let me get back on track. I'm going to be a doer of the word. So let's make sure we're doers of the word in this season. And last but least, verse 26 and 27 says, if anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, that person's religion is worthless. In other words, watch what you're saying. Our words really matter. And verse 27, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Can I encourage us in this season? These are core things the scriptures talk about. And he's using the word religion. Sometimes we use that negatively. He's using it very positively, like faith, following Jesus in this season, and a faith that is pure and undefiled, visiting orphans and widows in affliction. Now, I know some of you are thinking, well, we've got social distancing. I can't go visit anybody. Okay, but how can we help those in need? What are things that we can be doing in this season to help others? Can we go to our neighbors and just leave notes and say, hey, if you need any help, let me know? Can we find ways to help people on the front lines or first responders? Can you maybe find if people need someone to pick up groceries? Is there a single mom or someone who's elderly or older? And you just say, hey, can I do something for you? Let us be people in this season who have a heart for those who are in need. And let's make sure in the middle of this, again, guys, the enemy would love to come in and to pollute our flow with God. Even if it's just I'm bored, I end up watching stuff I shouldn't be watching, or I end up getting pulled, just don't let it happen. Amen? All right, so we are through James chapter 1. I'm really excited. Next week, we're going to be back with James chapter 2. But let me pray for you, and we're going to finish today. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for every person that is tuning in to this webcast today. And Father, just as we've been reading about the book of James, I thank you, God, for each one. I thank you for wisdom, that we're walking in wisdom. I thank you for steadfastness that leads to crowns of life in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Father, for us knowing your character during this time and not allowing the enemy to come in and undermine your character, but us putting our trust in you that every good and perfect gift comes from you. Lord, I thank you that we're going to be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to become angry. I thank you that we are putting away all filthiness, all wickedness, God, and we are receiving your word. We're prioritizing your word. Not only are we hearing your word, but we're doing your word. And God, this season, we are helping those in need. We're living for you. I speak this blessing over every person in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for them. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for all that you're doing today in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed, said, amen. All right. Well, as always, it's been a huge honor to be together with you. There is going to be information that's come up the comment box for you going forward about just opportunities, things that we're going to be doing as a church family. So just watch for the announcements after this. Keep plugging in. Keep going forward. We're here for you. We love you. And let me say this before I go today. If there's anyone watching me today, and I want you to look at me right now on the camera, and you are not right with God, it is time for you to be right with God. It is time for you to come into right right relationship with Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you, God loves you. He's here for you. This is your time and your season. And so I want to encourage you, the way you come to him is you make a conscious decision that you need him in your life. You make a decision to turn your back on sin and to commit your life to him. And so if that's you today, if you know you need that, hit us up. We want to pray with you. There are just some contact links, some contact information coming up for you. We want to pray with you. And one day, let's just pray a prayer right now. And you pray this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, I recognize my need for you. I thank you that you loved me. I thank you that you came and you died for me and you rose again for me. Today, I choose to turn my back on sin and I choose to commit my life to you. You are my Lord. I believe God raised you from the dead. And as I've prayed this prayer today, I thank you that I am free, I am saved, I am delivered in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer today, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, please let us know. We want to help you on this journey. God bless you. See you again next week. Get to a connection. Get plugged in. We're going to be as connected as we want to. This season, we're coming out of this season stronger, more united, together in what God has for us, with even more momentum in the Spirit, even more authority in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Love you guys. See you next week.